Moncrief on News Talk.
It's become a hallmark of the Trump presidency that visiting world leaders have to sit in the Oval Office with him trying to keep a straight face while he talks to reporters. It can be a nervous and cringe-laden hour for those leaders having to decide whether to keep silent or interject when he says something particularly bonkers. Everyone remembers what happened to Vladimir Zelensky. As you know, Micheál Martin went through that trial earlier in the week, followed a few days later by the Japanese Prime Minister, during which President Trump made a joke about Pearl Harbor. But there's been a long history of political gaffes, both in the Oval Office and elsewhere. Our political correspondent, Sean Defoe, is here to run through some of them. But before we talk to Sean, here's Donald Trump being diplomatic.
One question. Why didn't you tell US allies in Europe and Asia, like Japan, about the war before attacking Iran? So we are very confused about we Japanese citizens.
Well, one thing, you don't want to signal too much. You know, when we go in, we went in very hard, and we didn't tell anybody about it because we wanted surprise. Who knows better about surprise than Japan? Okay? Why didn't you tell me about Pearl Harbor? Okay? Right? You know, he's asking me, do you believe in surprise? I think much more so than us. And we had to surprise him, and we did.
I don't know why they tell Donald Trump about Pearl Harbor, seeing he was probably not even alive at the time. Anyway, good afternoon, Sean.
Afternoon, Sean. Yeah, what a moment. You could just hear the cringing as he says the words Pearl Harbor, and the face of the Japanese Prime Minister, a study in restraint, I think.
Though a lot of people noticed that she very pointedly looked at her watch at one point, as if, you know, when will this be over, please? Anyway, the first one now, Leo Varadkar has a bit of form when it comes to gaffes.
Yeah, I think it's something about Washington, maybe, because there's a few of the ones we're going to talk about that have happened in Washington. This is one that I was actually there for, and this is a trip to one of the Paddy's Day trips a few years ago, and it was a speech that was a little bit off the beaten track of the day that he was giving. There was no real media event planned around it, so most of the journalists travelling actually didn't go to this, and myself and two others decided, oh, sure, look, we'll go along just on the off chance that he says something in his speech. To the point where actually none of us were recording at the time. There was only one plug-in for recording, and whoever was hosting the event was using it and had promised to send me the audio afterwards so that we could use it for news bulletins, etc., etc. A lesson for me in always have your own recorder on, as I'll explain at the end. And during the speech, he was due to meet the Clintons over the next couple of days, both Bill and Hillary, at some sort of event. And he started by recounting when Leo Varadkar first came to Washington initially as an intern after he had left school, which would have been in the 90s and was at the time when Bill Clinton was president, and made an off-color remark saying this, of course, was at a time when some parents would have concern about what happens to interns in Washington, to sort of restrained giggles in the room and whispers of Monica Lewinsky around the place. Now, again, we couldn't believe ourselves as the three journalists in the room going, did he actually say that? Unfortunately, none of us actually had documentary proof. And the person who had promised the audio, who I happened to know actually myself in college, suddenly found their file had disappeared and they didn't want to share it with anybody. So there was this weird back and forth where the other journalists on the trip didn't believe it had actually happened for a while. The Taoiseach's team clearly thought about denying it had happened, but eventually, given that there was enough of us in the room to actually prove it, he issued an apology and a statement pretty quickly afterwards.
Yeah, and he was about to meet the Clintons or had just met the Clintons. So this is a very tricky thing to have done.
Yeah, he met them the next night at an Ireland Funds dinner, and they were due to come to Ireland, I think, for the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. They were in Belfast a couple of months later. So it was just talk about picking. Absolutely shocking timing to make an off-colour joke about the Clintons.
My word. Now, staying in Washington, Joe Biden, another man who's made the occasional slip of the tongue. What did he say to Enda Kenny?
Again, this was when he was vice president. Again, on this St. Patrick's Day trip, there's something about it that just brings out the worst in people. And when a Taoiseach does the St. Paddy's Day trip and the White House event, that always starts with a breakfast at the vice president's house, the Naval Observatory in Washington. And Joe Biden loved this. I mean, this was manna from heaven for an Irish man with a very proud Irish mother. And as Enda Kenny arrived to the event, the press were outside. And from my memory of the event, one of the press had an orange tie on. And Joe Biden, as we'll hear in this little clip here, said, no one wearing orange can come in today.
Anyone wearing orange is not welcome in. Only joking.
Yeah, obviously only joking.
It's a bit of a backlash from the TV.
Yeah, they must have gone ape.
Absolutely mental. There was someone there from the DUP on the trip. Immediately statements were issued. They were saying, how dare you? We've tried to make this St. Patrick's Day a whole, yeah, you know, not necessarily a United Ireland thing, but one that unionists could buy into as well. And it was kind of held over him for a long time by the DUP and by unionists. It's all this Irish president is getting in our way. But Sleepy Joe, not unknown for a gaffe from time to time.
No, indeed not. Now, in fairness, Enda Kenny wasn't known for gaffes, and this one was quite extraordinary given that it was his own constituency.
Yeah, Enda Kenny, I mean, he... Would we say he wasn't known for gaffes? There was one or two down through the years. This was an absolutely fantastic one. I remember this is the first election I covered for News Talk back in 2016. And if you remember, Fine Gael was having a difficult election. They had unveiled their slogan, Keep the Recovery Going. And a lot of people at the time were going, sorry, what recovery are you talking about there? We're certainly not feeling any of it. There had been all of this awkwardness at their launch about the fiscal space and Michael Noonan getting lost in the figures and that phrase haunting that government for a while. And Enda Kenny, as the campaign got on, And sort of he realised he wasn't going to romp to the victory that he thought he was going to get, was getting ever more tetchy. And so at a rally in Castlebar towards the end of the election, he got up and very dramatically said, we've some All-Ireland champions here in Castlebar. About Castlebar Mitchells, I'm talking about the whingers that I hear every week. Basically calling his constituency base total and utter whingers for giving out about the stage of the country that he was running at the time. And the next day, our then political correspondent, Padraig Gallagher, asked him at a press conference, do you regret those comments? And he said, no, I have to deal with whingers every week, to great laughs from all of the Fine Gael people around him. 24 hours later, he said, I do regret those comments. I'm very sorry. And I didn't mean to cause any offence to anyone in Castlebar.
So you could see how he obviously did, really. So what did Micheál Martin say about the Chinese or...
This is one of those ones that it's just amazing that it hasn't haunted Micheál Martin more than it actually should have. This is back in 2011. So long ago that the event he was at, which was the Web Summit, Dublin Web Summit as it was at the time, was known as a local tech conference before it had ever even made it big. And Micheál Martin was there and he was talking about meetings he's had with the Chinese and investment. Here is the very unfortunate impression he did at the time.
And whenever I met Chinese ministers or officials, particularly as enterprise minister, there was one sort of overriding refrain from them or demand. And they kept on saying to me, you Irish, very good at software.
He should have done that when he was in the Oval Office during the week. Trump would have loved that, I would think.
Now, this, he would have, yeah.
Now, this is, I suppose this is a really famous one, though at the time, you know, we got to remember this was during the height of the Cold War and everyone was terrified about nuclear Armageddon, and Reagan makes a joke about it.
Yeah, back in 1984, and a lot of these, like the difference between these and Trump is a lot of people have not known they were on mic. This is probably one of those famous hot mic scenarios. And Ronald Reagan was doing the mic test, the sort of 1, 2, 3, mic check, before actually going on air, and sort of tongue in cheek goes, my fellow Americans, I am pleased to tell you I have signed legislation to outlaw Russia. Let's hear a bit of it.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Now, there was a load of reporters in the room at the time.
There was, and there was the reporters kind of got the joke, but it was also being fed down basically a syndication line to local radio, many of whom heard it and weren't so sure it was actually a joke, which caused mass hysteria and panic in Russia at the time. Now, the Reagan administration said, it was only a joke, don't be worrying about it. Of course, it wasn't the only time he was actually caught on mic at different times. About 2 years previously, he had also caused a little bit of a diplomatic incident where he called the government of Poland a bunch of no good, lousy bums. Again, slightly off mic. So history there.
Repeating itself. And some people might even agree with Jacques Chirac's remarks. But, you know, what did he say? And this is food. And obviously the French take food very seriously. But so what did he say in 2005?
Very seriously. And to tie in with Russia, he was at a celebration for Kaliningrad, which is this little bit of Russia that's sort of in Northern Europe and separated off from the rest of it, the 750th anniversary of that particular territory. And at the time, he was caught on a mic giving out about the UK. You can't trust people who cook as bad as that, he said. After Finland, it's the country with the worst food. The only thing the British have ever done for European agriculture is mad cow disease. To the point, in fact, where he didn't ever even deny this when it was put to his press people that he had said it or tried to cover it up at all. He stood by his comments. And do you know what? I'd say there's a lot of French people who probably still agree with him.
Yeah, probably. You know, it might even be a reasonable point to make. Sean, thanks a million. As ever, that was our political correspondent, Sean Defoe, there. Apologies, we had a kind of wonky link there to Sean, so we had to switch to a phone line there. When the US abandoned Afghanistan, Trump was asked about the Kurdish that were left behind to fight the Taliban, says his texter. He said he wouldn't help them because the Kurds didn't help with the D-Day landings. You see, that's probably not even a joke. That's just... oh, God. It's like the Father Ted episode. Here, you're a racist now, Father. Don't forget Michael Noonan and the feta cheese remark about the Greeks. Yeah, and Michael Noonan said something like that the only links that Ireland had with Greece was importing feta cheese in them or something like that. There are a lot of people who... we did mention the Donald Trump's Pearl Harbor comments at the start of that piece. There are a lot of people who consider Pearl Harbor a false flag event in that it was allowed to happen in order to bring the USA into the Second World War, and it worked. That's if it was a false flag event, then it did work. But, you know, history and stuff, no, it wasn't.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.